What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
The Giants starting quarterback in week one should be Jackson Dart.
It is going to be Russell Wilson, so you can scream all you want. It's not happening.
The Giants starting quarterback, QB1 for week one in 2025, should be Jackson Dart.
Wait, I didn't hear you. Did you say 2026 or
2025.
It's not happening.
The year that Thomas Lugauer turns 40 years old. Today is my birthday.
Happy birthday. I forgot. Happy birthday.
Oh, good. I had to remind you.
Happy birthday to you, Tommy. Happy birthday.
We don't have to do all the pomp and circumstances. I just threw it out there because you did actually forget, which is okay. A lot of people forgot.
I was just told, and I totally forgot.
Pretty sure I told you yesterday, but it's all good.
Someone told me 10 minutes ago.
Somebody told you. What? Somebody up on the street told you?
Rosie told me 10 minutes ago.
He's got it. Loose lips sink ships. The reason why I say Jackson Dart should be the Giants starting quarterback week one this year is I understand that traditionally you have the rookie quarterback sit and wait. Like famously in this town,
yes.
Kurt Warner took the car out for a spin. Eli Manning took over a couple weeks later, won the two Super Bowls, and it all worked out there. Mm. But if you look at recent history, you look at C.J. Stroud, you look at Jaden Daniels, you look at Bo Nix, three guys that started as rookies right out of the gates and made the playoffs. Hmm. And I think that in the modern game in the NFL, especially on the college level, the college game now is almost a pro-style game. Jackson Dart went to Ole Miss and played a pro-style offense against Alabama professionals under Lane Kiffin. He played under Lincoln Riley at USC before he transferred to Ole Miss. He is, in my opinion, he is ready to be the starter in week one. And I think at times you have to take that leap. My feeling all along here with the Giants bringing in a Russell Wilson is that that's their, they being Brian Daboll, Joe Shane's first bite at the apple. Meaning, all right, we'll start Russell Wilson. If Russ can be the old Russell Wilson, or at least the Russell Wilson we saw last year that played pretty well for the Steelers, they got to the playoffs, that's our first bite at the apple. And if Russ struggles, we have that ace in the hole, the guy that can keep us around longer, job security, in Jackson Dart. And I understand that from a, you want to protect yourselves, you want to keep, you know, you want to hedge your bets, so to speak. But Jackson Dart is the future, and he should be the present. And Russell Wilson, more than anybody, should understand that because Russell Wilson was drafted by the Seahawks, and they paid, you know, Matt Flynn all this money. Right. Russell Wilson won the job, and he started from week one and won a Super Bowl and honestly should have won two Super Bowls. Now, I'm not saying Jackson Dart's going to win multiple Super Bowls. I hope he does. I hope he wins a ton of Super Bowls. But what I am saying is, from what I've seen with Dart at college, and more importantly, ever since he's come to the Giants, here in training camp and early on in the preseason, he has the swagger, he has the game, he has the personality, he has the maturity, he has Brian Daboll, and I've been critical of Daboll, but this is Daboll who handpicked him, and we know what Daboll did with Josh Allen in Buffalo. Jackson Dart, to me, is ready to start in week one, and the current trend with guys like Daniels, Bo Nix, C.J. Stroud, there's no reason why Jackson Dart can't start from the get-go week one and take the Giants to the playoffs this season.
I will give you this. There is a very unique parallel. And you didn't even mention it, but it's the same. When Eli Manning was drafted in 2004, we signed Kirk Cousins as a free agent. He wasn't previously on the team. We had no expectation. Most people said, Kurt's washed. Kurt's done. He was 35 years old, 34. I don't know how old he was, but people thought his career as a starter was done. Obviously, that wasn't the case because he left and then went to Arizona.
You're saying Kurt Warner.
Kurt Warner was lost, was washed. He went to Arizona and took him to a Super Bowl.
Yes.
So he still had a lot of game left. It just, he was borrowed here.
Mm-hmm.
The same situation kind of exists. People are saying Russell Wilson just doesn't have it anymore. We saw what he did in Denver and then in Pittsburgh. And Even though he's looked good in the preseason, he's 37 years old. And he's borrowed here. He's on a one-year deal, basically. There's no tie to him long-term. It's kind of the exact situation. Now, that being said, you bring up guys like C.J. Stroud, who was competing against, what was the kid's name? Davis Mills. Davis Mills. You had Bo Nix. He was competing against Jared Stidham. Mm-hmm. You had Jaden Daniels. He was competing. I don't know who the hell he was even competing against.
Common sense? Nobody.
Yeah. So when you think about all those guys that you mentioned, those rookies that came right in and played over the last couple of years, mm-hmm. why did they start? Because they had no other option other than to start the rookie as long as he showed some competency. The difference, and this is why Russ is going to play, is that Russ has a lot of competency and he might have a lot of game left. Now, I'm not saying we're going to see that for 17 straight weeks and the Giants are going to make the playoffs, but you're going to see it for 6 games. You're going to see it for 10 games or 12 games, or you might see it for 4 games. The reality is Jackson Dart isn't ready. Russell Wilson absolutely is.
But 888-808-1019 is the number to call. But the Giants have put themselves in a situation where, let's say they start off 0-2. You know, you got Washington, you got Dallas right out of the gate.
Both games they can win.
They can definitely be 2-0. And if they are 2-0, Teak, then it'll go away. But if they are 0-2, the questions and it's not just going to be me saying it, and it's not going to be me screaming it. Brian Daboll after these games is going to be asked about Jackson Dart, because everybody knows that Russell Wilson is on borrowed time. Now, look, in a perfect world, Russell Wilson would either lead the Giants to the playoffs or at the very least get this organization, this franchise back to stability where they win 7 games, they win 8 games, mm-hmm. they just miss the playoffs, and they can keep Dart on ice for next season. I'm sure that's what their plan is, and that's what their hope is. But when you look at where Russell Wilson is at, and I think Kurt Warner, and this is nothing against Kurt Warner, because what the heck do I know, but I feel like Kurt Warner going to Arizona was the perfect place for him, location, with Larry Fitzgerald. I wonder if Kurt would have went somewhere else, he would have maybe not had the success yet. I don't know, but I think he landed in the perfect spot. Russell Wilson, to me, here with the Giants, I don't think this is the spot where he is going to thrive. Maybe he goes to another team and thrives. Like, we'll talk about Daniel Jones in a little bit in Indy. I think DJ can thrive in Indianapolis based on the way they are currently constructed.
How about him winning that job?
Yeah.
Talk about Anthony Richardson being basically done with his career.
It's probably more anti-Anthony Richardson. Well, and we'll get more into DJ later. Anthony Richardson had 1 year at Florida. And he was drafted in the first round because people are first quarterback, horny, for lack of a better word, or desperate.
Desperate.
You know what? That's the dynamics between me and horny.
It's a kid's show.
So this is why Tiki Barber's Tiki Barber. Tiki Barber went with the proper word, desperate, and my dumb ass, who's 40, went with the word horny. I mean, but both words work, but really for Sports Talk Radio, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you're right. Desperate is the better word, and that's why Richardson was picked. And most likely his career in Indy is done, unless DJ gets hurt, which is a possibility.
I mean, I think he only played a year in high school, too.
Yeah, no
so
experience.
He just hasn't played a ton of football.
Yeah, he just looks good coming off the bus.
100%.
And that's what it is. But that's not Jackson Dart. Jackson Dart, 3 years at Ole Miss, and then, like I said, he was a backup with USC, played a little bit, but under Lincoln Riley, who's a great offensive mind, obviously Caleb Williams came from his tutelage, Lane Kiffin, the Lane Train, they run a pro-style offense against big-time competition in college.
Right.
We met Jackson Dart at camp. He does not look like a deer in the headlights.
Polished.
He looks like a guy that's polished, confident, even bordering on, and I mean this in all the respect, I love this, cocky.
Right.
And he looks like the type of guy that can handle not only the New York market, the New York lifestyle, the pressures that come with this media, the amount of people that are around and the media scrutiny and this radio station, the beat reporters, the whole deal. He looks like the type of guy that can be a superstar in the NFL. And I don't want to keep that in the cupboard. I want to unleash that on the NFL week 1. Like, Malik Nabers is back at practice. I love the running game. I love the defense, and we'll get into that more throughout the show. A lot of Giants talk today. I want to see Jackson Dart right out of the gate. I want to be where the Commanders are at this point next year. I want to be. Think about where Denver's at right now. Think about where Washington's at. Think about where Houston's at. And they started their quarterbacks. And there were a lot of people that doubted C.J. Stroud.
Of course.
Oh, he's an Ohio State quarterback, that none of them are any good. There were people that hated Bo Nix because Bo Nix was Van Wilder. He was in college for about 25 years. Good for him. Bo Nix was at Auburn stinking up the joint when I was 25 years old, basically.
I called one of his games at Auburn, by the way.
He was in college forever.
He was.
Like, every year I was like, I would go to my buddies and go, who's the Oregon starting quarterback? They go, Bo Nix. I'm like, he's still around? What is he taking? Basket weaving? Like, at what point, how many credits does he have there? And then you look at Jaden Daniels.
No, by that point, he's probably working on a master's degree.
Bro, if you're 25 walking around a college campus, God bless you. That's as good a spot as you could possibly be in America. I would never want to leave either. And by the way, you make more money probably now in college than you did at least above board. We all know back in the day what was going on. But in terms of, and who else? Oh, Jaden Daniels. He bursted on the scene at LSU and was sensational. Won the Heisman, right? So he had that great year. He was probably the best, you know, I don't want to say can't miss out of the group, but Jaden Daniels had the most hype and the most, like, I think, certainty coming out of college. Jackson Dart, granted, he wasn't the number one overall pick. So the Titans decided Cam Ward, in their minds, is better. But Jackson Dart was handpicked by Brian Daboll. And if you believe in Brian Daboll, and there's a lot of people that do, that he can get the very best out of Jackson Dart. By the way, I think Dart's game fits the modern NFL. Big arm, right. Can run the ball, physical. Mm-hmm. I want to see him right out of the gate in week one.
So two things that you're mentioning here. One, you're talking about the college quarterbacks adjusting to the NFL. The part of the reason that's happening is that NFL offenses are becoming a little bit like college offenses as well. So you're seeing some of the run game, you know, quarterback run game. You're seeing some of the zone read stuff. And sometimes you throw out of that as opposed to just, you know, having your quarterback get his head beat in. And the other thing, and I think this is what we don't talk about a ton. Most of these quarterbacks, probably their first or second year in college, they go get, like, private quarterback coaches. Mm. And these are, like, the Jordan Palmers of the world. We hear them. You hear about those guys who tutored Josh Allen when Josh was coming out of Wyoming. These guys truly prepare. And they work, by the way, with the teams that draft them. And so they're preparing these kids in these moments when you can't be at the team facility because, you know, the league, the offseason rules. But they're tutoring how to be professional quarterbacks before they get a chance to even start being a professional quarterback. So you're seeing all these young guys come in and they get it and they understand it because it's not overwhelming to them mentally. But I think Jackson Dart's biggest asset is his calmness, right? He doesn't seem flustered. Mm-mm. Doesn't seem overwhelmed.
Nope.
And while I say all of that in a positive light, when I watch what defenses have done to him in the first 2 weeks, first in Buffalo, or actually, yeah, it was in Buffalo, and yep. Then last week here with the Jets, mm-hmm. It was nothing, man. They're doing nothing. The touchdown he threw, where they faked that little toss out to the right to Turbo, and then he hits the tight end, Dulcich over the middle of the field. It's like cover four. All you got to do is get the safety to take two steps to his left, and the middle of the field is wide the hell open. I mean, you could have made that throw, Tommy.
Wow.
And so when I look, he does do some cool things, like the arm angle thing where he's like way downtown.
That was awesome.
He threw it basically Tyler Rogers style.
Yeah, like Stafford, Mahomes. You right, see them no do doubt. A lot of that sidearm.
Like,
yeah.
I give him credit for his creativity and for his touch because you see some of these screens. Kafka scored a ton of screens these first 2 weeks. Sometimes he's got to zip it in there. Sometimes it's just a nice little fake and let me just find it. Other times he's got to like loft it over the top.
And they're not, because I heard a lot of the haters saying they were checkdowns. Would you tell me that they're not checkdowns? Those are design plays.
No, those are design plays. Exactly.
Because I heard a lot of, he's checking the ball down.
By the way, he does check the ball down.
But when teams are
dropping eight deep and your running back is sitting six yards over the ball and it's third and eight, throw it to the damn running back.
Yeah.
Let him turn around and go pick up 2 yards with his feet, which Turbo did multiple times. And so I give Jackson Dart credit. I just don't think that he's going to be ready for all the craziness that comes when the regular season starts and defenses aren't just sitting there like, hey, look at us in a shell. Like, you can pick this apart. Your grandmother can pick this apart. I mean, hell, 12-year-olds these days know what a cover four is and know how to beat it. So, like, I love what I see. I'm not saying that at all. I love what I see. I just don't trust that when the things get really heated that he's going to be as calm as he seems right now.
All right, so two things, because you mentioned it earlier as far as Nix, as far as Daniels, as far as Stroud. Yes, you're right. The competition that those guys had, even throw Jameis Winston in, he's better than anything those teams had
right.
as far as an option.
No doubt about it.
even though the Giants have those options, that still, in my mind, doesn't mean that Jackson Dart doesn't deserve to be the week one starter.
But here's the problem. Like, when you saw Russell beat out Matt Flynn.
Yes.
I mean, think how long that was. That was 14 years ago, mm-hmm. dude. When you saw that, Matt Flynn was also coming from nowhere.
Being a backup. Being the week 17 guy that everybody loved because he would only play week 17 because Rodgers wouldn't play and he'd throw for like 300 yards against backups.
For whatever reason, he had this, we'll call it big. It really wasn't that big, but it was a big contract to be the starter in Seattle. He didn't prove anything.
Nope.
And so Seattle didn't owe him any kind of loyalty. And so you draft this kid on a flyer in the third round. It was third or fourth. I can't remember what round Russell was taking.
He was deeper. He might have been deeper than
it
that.
It might have been fifth.
Yeah.
Right? So whatever it is, you take this small quarterback, and he's just baller. He's smart as hell. We all know this. And he understands that he's athletic. Third round. He's athletic. He can make this ridiculous deep throw that we've seen 100,000 times over the last 13 seasons. Yep. He's got big hands, and he's got like a moxie about him. He just beats out the kid. He beats him out. I don't think Jackson Dart has beat out Russell Wilson. That's my problem. He hasn't beat him out yet. He's played great, but he hasn't beat him out. There's no indication as I look at these first two preseason games and some of the practices that you've been at that you say, yeah, he's heads and heels above Russell Wilson. He absolutely has to be a starter over Russell Wilson. Still looks like he's got it a little bit, and that's what he was brought here to do. You might as well let him do it.
Now, the other thing is, and I'm sure we'll hear from our callers at 888-808-1019, is that, oh, you don't want to ruin the kid. And this is my take on it. Andrew Thomas passed his physical. He's back. The Giants' offensive line has played really well.
Yes.
I think the Giants are going to have an elite pass rush. So, by proxy, a top defense. When you look at Cam Scataboo, when you look at Tracy, they have a very, very strong running game. Mm-hmm. You have an elite number one wide receiver. They have a very deep tight end room. This is a Giant team that is ready to win. I know that's a crazy statement because they haven't done a lot of winning over the last couple years, but they've slowly been building a team, building depth, something we've talked about over the last couple years. They now have that depth. They now have that team that I think is a quarterback away. So Jackson Dart would not be ruined. It's not like this is an expansion team or a team that's destined to win two games.
Right, a team that doesn't have talent.
They are ready to win, and I want to see our franchise future quarterback, and if he doesn't pan out, okay, then you move. It's not like Russell Wilson's going anywhere. He's not going to request a trade. If Dart struggles early on, he could ride the pine. He could sit and be benched, and you could go to Wilson. Mm-hmm. But I want to see Dart out of the gate with a team that I think is built now, ready to win, and the future, and a guy in Jackson Dart that is ready based on his college performance, based under playing at Ole Miss in a pro-style offense, playing against, let's be honest, pro-type players against an LSU, against an Alabama. He has the game, the swagger, the confidence to handle New York, the pressure, and be a superstar in this league. And as a fan, I know Eli sat for a little bit and everything worked out, but I just gave you Bo Nix, Jaden Daniels, CJ Stroud right out of the gate, and they made the playoffs not in year two, not in year three, year one. So why can't Jackson Dart come in week one from his first year and make the playoffs? 888-808-1019.
I mean, maybe, but I don't think so.
All right, let's see. This guy thinks I'm crazy right out of the gate. Andrew's in Lawrence. What's up, Drew?
Tom, we spoke before. Hey, Tiki.
What up, dude?
I don't think you're crazy, but I just think I'm a Jeff fan, so I got a precedent. I like the Giants, but like Tiki said, I think you got to give these quarterbacks some time to develop. It happens time and time again. We can rewind the tapes of you, Evan, about old quarterbacks that look good out of the gun, and then all of a sudden they... So I think with Russell Wilson and Winston, he has good tutelage, and I think a smart team would hold him back just so he can learn it. With all the things you said, I get. But there's still, he can't learn that experience.
But I would just say that guys like Jaden Daniels, Bo Nix, and CJ Stroud, they're learning on the job. And a lot of that has to do with their head coaching.
Right.
They're learning.
Yeah.
It also has to do with CJ Stroud as well.
CJ Stroud didn't start like phenomenal. It wasn't like he was, oh man, this kid is no doubt. It took him a couple of games. And all of a sudden, it clicked for him. And so he became.
Look what you said about Daniel Jones. I mean, he looked good out of the start. I mean, look at what's his name. I'm a Jeff fan. The guy that's on Denver now.
What are you saying, Zach Wilson?
Yeah, He looked good. Everyone
but Andrew, and don't take this the wrong way, and this is not meant to be a shot.
By the way, Zach Wilson is now in Miami.
Right. Yeah. Not the worst place to land, although he is now recently
Mike
married.
White is now in Buffalo.
I want to say. Yeah. Jet quarterback carousel. Jet fans, and this is the mentality that I think a Jet fan might have, and I don't want the Giant fan to have that, and the Jet fan shouldn't have it either, but I understand it. You get gun-shy and you get scared of ruining the quarterback because you've seen so many quarterbacks with the Jets come here with all this promise, and maybe they show a little bit early on, and then they wet the bed and you never hear from them again. I don't think you should be scared, though, as a fan to say, you know what, let's pull the trigger on our rookie quarterback in week one. You talk about Stroud, yeah, maybe struggled a little early on, but that probably helped him, and then he peaked later, and they ended up going to the playoffs. They won a playoff game, too, so they made it to the second round. So he was way ahead of schedule, and maybe that early, you know, experience sort of going through it in the first couple weeks served him as a rookie. Whereas if you let Jackson Dart come in week eight, and then the team has like two wins, and then is Brian Daboll's job on the line, and then you could lose him, and then Dart's got a new head coach. Why not just, this is the handpicked guy. This is the guy Brian Daboll wants to be his quarterback for the next 10 years. Why not just go out right out of the gate in week one? Let's go to CJ in Pearl River. What's up, CJ?
Hi, big fan of the show.
Thanks, man.
I'm a Jets fan, so again, I don't really have a dog in the fight. But, you know, you look at some of the top quarterbacks in the league, like Mahomes, Allen, Lamar, Hurts, Herbert, all of them sat behind a quarterback, maybe not for the entirety of the year, but, you know, in some cases, like Tyrod got hurt and then Herbert went in.
Right.
But I just think that it would be better for Dart's development if they sat him and then let him. I mean, again, they're sitting him behind Russell Wilson. He knows what he's doing. It's not like it's a Jared Stidham situation where the Broncos are like, well, it's either Nix or Stidham, and obviously Bo Nix is better. But I feel like it's a situation where maybe they're similar in skill gap at their point and both of their points in their career right now. So it would be worth it to sit them and hope you get an outcome like those top quarterbacks that all sat behind someone.
Yeah, I mean, there's arguments both
Appreciate
sides.
Appreciate it, CJ.
Because you see it every year. You see the guys that start right away and just suck. They just don't make it. Mm-hmm. They don't pan out. It's the Zach Wilsons of the world, Anthony Richardson to an extent.
Yep.
His is mostly health, but then it kind of felt like work ethic. And so now who knows where his career is going. We talked about it earlier with Daniel Jones winning that starting job with Indianapolis. But then you turn around, you also see these kids that just right away, it feels like they're just an extension of what they were doing in college. And you expect that only because it's your guy. And it looks like Cam Ward, that's going to happen with him in Tennessee. He's going to be the day one starter. And he's looked pretty good in the preseason. And so, like, what's the path to take? I think if you don't have an alternative, and in Tennessee, because their quarterback got hurt, they didn't have an option, right? They didn't. It's Cam Ward, because who else are you going to put in there? The Giants have options. And so I think Russ and even Jameis, but particularly Russ, is ready to be that leader and to be the starter for this Giants team. It's what Dave's has said from the very beginning, and I don't think we've seen enough, like an overwhelming enough of evidence to say Jackson Dart is going to be better than him.
Now, this might sound crazy, and this is just me going off of my memory. I feel like the hype around Jackson Dart, at least in the preseason, was stronger than the hype that was surrounding Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. Or Josh Allen came out of what, Wyoming? It wasn't like people were like drooling over Josh Allen as this guy. Josh Allen's got to get out there. Mahomes obviously had a really good college career, so and they were smart about it. It made sense. What was Alex Smith the starter? So it made a little bit more sense, and they were kind of not, I think, ready to win. Like the Giants, to me,
well, they didn't need Pat Mahomes, Kansas City. Alex Smith was winning double-digit games every single season.
But he was already there. My point is that, like, the Giants created this by bringing in Russell Wilson, by bringing in Jameis Winston, and it's the point I made earlier. I think it was because it allows them sort of two shots at this. If Russell Wilson or a combo of Russ and Jameis can't get them 7-8 wins or a playoff berth, then they have Jackson Dart as the ace in the hole, they being Dable and Shane, where, look, we have this kid. Like, from their perspective, from a job security, the longer they hold Jackson Dart away from the field, the longer it could keep them around. Yeah. That's just me conspiracy theory. Like, it makes sense, though, because if Russ stinks and they're, you know, 1-7, it's not like they can be like, well, let's fire those guys, because you could always say, well, hold on a second. We don't know what Jackson Dart is. We want to develop him. We want to keep him with Dable. So it allows them to buy another year. And for me as a fan, I don't care about that. I want to see the star young quarterback in week one, and I want to be where the Commanders are, where the Broncos are, where the Texans are, because I'm tired of losing. I'm tired of having bad seasons. So that's where I'm coming from, plus what I've seen from Jackson Dart. Let's go to, this is Evan and Tiki on the Fan, Tommy Lugauer, Tiki Barber. Let's go to Frank in Toms River. What's up, Frank?
You play the guy that gives you the best chance to win, period, end of story.
And who is that?
Week one. That's Russell Wilson.
You think that Russell Wilson automatically gives you... You don't know that Jackson...
win week one.
Okay, but you don't know that Jackson Dart doesn't give you a better chance to win in week...
But I think that's what Frank is saying. I think you... Because you don't know that Jackson Dart... You kind of know that Russ does give you a better chance to win. You know what I mean?
Russ gives you a better chance to win week one. I mean, come on. Well, you know, we look good against some guys in college.
Let me ask you this, Frank. If Jackson Dart is a great quarterback, who gives them a better chance to win this season, Russell Wilson or Dart?
Then he beats out Russell Wilson and get him out.
How would he beat him out, though, if he's not playing?
Yeah, that's the issue, is that you're not going to get a chance to see this.
Right.
I was just Josh Allen did not start his first game.
No, it was Nate Peterman was the quarterback?
Yes, yeah. But he did start the second game.
Started the second game.
So I guess Nate got hurt. I don't remember the circumstances around it. But so he got thrown into it. But again, it's kind of like the Jaden Daniels and the C.J. Stroud. It's like, what was the alternative? And so, all right, our starting quarterback who won it out in training camp, Nate Peterman, is unavailable after week one. You know, we're going to suck. We might as well just throw the kid in there and see what happens. And he turned out to be pretty damn good. So it's just, there is no prescribed formula. I think you have to do what feels best for the team. Forget the kid for a second. What's best for the team? And because where the Giants have been, what's best for this team is a leader and a proven winner like Russell Wilson, even if he's 37 years old and not the same player that he was a decade ago.
888-808-1019 is the number to call. Evan and Tiki, Evan and Sean on vacation. Tiki Barber, Tommy Lugauer, taking you till 6:30. We'll get back to your calls. I believe Jackson Dart should be the starter in week one. Tiki believes it should be Russell Wilson. We'll get more into the Giants as the show rolls along. Got a bunch of guys returning to practice on the Giants side and on the Jets side. There's some injury news that came out of Metland that we discussed earlier on Francisco Alvarez. Once the Yankee lineup comes out, we'll get an idea of Stanton's back in the outfield, what's going on there. So there's a lot to tackle, no pun intended, on the show today. Again, the number 888-808-1019.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Tommy Lugauer, Tiki Barber, here with you till 6:30. We will get more into the Giants and the guys that came back from camp. Tiki was at a charity event at MetLife Stadium with Russell Wilson and Ciara, Ciara. I'm just going to say Ciara, Ciara, because I say Ciara, people tell me it's Ciara.
Sierra.
Ciara, so it's a soft drink.
Yes.
But it's Ciara.
But it's with a C.
Okay, so Ciara. So Ciara. That is official from Ciara. It is Ciara. Yes. All right, so we will get into that as the show rolls on.
By the way, she's beautiful.
I mean, yeah, Tiki, it's my life's work. I mean, you don't have to tell me that. I got the conversations we were having, which we'll get into a little later on the show in the newsroom, because Sal had this take, which I don't necessarily agree with him on, but it's apples to oranges, that Jessica Alba is the most universally hot girl ever in the history of the world.
Yeah. Which,
yeah, I had the same take. And that's nothing against Jessica Alba. And again, who's this loogie wearing snapback hats at 40 years old? Relax, all right? If I could talk about Daniel Jones, I could talk about Jessica Alba. I don't agree with that take of his, but I'm never, you know, the answer is always yes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I threw out a couple, like Tiffany Amber Thiessen. She's on my Mount Rushmore. Pam Anderson in her prime.
Mm-hmm.
Megan Fox. Sydney Sweeney, you know how I feel about her, but she's still in her prime, so I feel like she's in a slightly different category. The list goes on and on. I can't. And Halle Berry. I don't know if you've seen Halle Berry. Oh, yeah. 58 years old. She's aging backwards. No, Benjamin Button.
She was amazing. Alyssa Milano.
Alyssa Milano's another good one.
Right.
Jennifer Love Hewitt's another good one. I'm just going more from like people from my youth.
Tracy Barber.
Tracy Barber, of course. Now I have to. I'm not. You know, I'm not throwing my wife in there. But you put me on the spot. Then I can do
that. Well, I only had to because I was talking to Trace. Like, Trace, you are beautiful. You are the most beautiful woman here. She's like, Ciara's right over there.
It's Ciara. Yeah. Ciara.
Unlimited.
But we will get into that because it sounded like a super cool party. But right now, the main topic, Jackson Dart, in my opinion, should be the Giants' Week 1 starting quarterback this season. 888-808-1019. Is the number to call. EJ on Long Island. What's up, EJ?
What's going on, Tiki and PT? Positive Tommy.
Yo.
Tommy, one reason I got to agree with Tiki is two things. Number one, how difficult the early schedule is for the Giants, okay? It's pretty difficult. Number two, we've seen what we like from Jackson Dart, and I totally agree about that, but he's running very vanilla plays against very vanilla looks, so... Right. Come September 7th, that's going to be a little different. So I think the experience of Russell Wilson is going to come in handy because, and you talked about earlier, you know, Shane and Dable being on the hot seat, they're going to win some games.
They do, EJ, but I think that you can't sit here and say they can't win games with Jackson Dart. Because I just gave you Bo Nix, Jaden Daniels, C.J. Stroud. Those were all rookie quarterbacks that started right out of the gate, won games and made the playoffs. They were able to win games. And the Commanders, at least in my opinion, roster-wise, last season. Now, this year, they made a lot of new additions. I'm not going to take anything away from them.
Right.
But when you looked at their roster last year, did they feel like they were a team that were going to the playoffs? I think the Giants have a better roster this year than Washington had last year.
Oh, yeah. Washington's offensive line was severely compromised.
And their defense sucked.
And they've still found a way to protect. Well, they didn't really protect them that well. Jaden Daniels was so...
Elusive, yeah,
right. Great word. He's just elusive. He just avoided contact and then would take off and run. He didn't really need to have a solid offensive line. The Giants' offensive line, especially if Andrew Thomas, and that's the latest report, who's back in practice, is going to be fine, then you feel a lot better. You're already feeling better because preseason has looked pretty good. But if he comes back, it really becomes a lot more stable up front.
And hear me out on this. When you look at Carter, you look at Lawrence, you look at Kayvon, you look at Burns, you look at that front for the Giants. They have the potential to have the best defensive line in the NFL.
Yeah.
They have what I believe to be a really good running back tandem, and now we'll see Scats back at practice. He sounded like he might start the season on the IR. Turbo's been awesome.
Right.
And we know what Tracy can be if he fixes the fumbling problem, which I'm sure is behind him. They could have a really strong running attack. And Malik Nabers, you have an elite wide receiver. This team can win games just with that. You know what I mean?
Like, right.
So I think there's a
offensive
team
skill position.
Yes.
Player.
And a great defense. So why can't Dart win games with that roster?
Well, I mean, he can. It's just going to be a matter of him being overwhelmed by what defense is. Joe Witt Jr., who was the first DC they faced down in Washington, what he decides to throw at him. And you know it's going to be complex. But, you know, you're mentioning the skill position players. Mm-hmm. We were just talking about this in the break.
Mm-hmm.
And I brought this up with Schmelk in the post game after the preseason game with the Jets. This is the first time in a long time, like a really long time, I felt like the Giants, come cut down day, are going to cut potential starters someplace else.
Yeah, they have great depth.
They got a ton of depth in all places. You were just talking about the running back room. How are you keeping, because Tyrone Tracy's going to be here, Devin Singletary's going to be here, Cam Scataboo's going to be here, you want Dante Miller here, right? How are you keeping four running backs if you're going to keep six wide receivers?
Yeah, the only way that was going to happen is if Scat started out on the IR, which I don't know if it's going to happen now. He's back at practice, and that opens up a slot for Turbo,
right, but
who's
think
been
about,
awesome.
Okay, so that's the running backs. Think about the tight ends.
Yep.
Theo Johnson, Daniel Bellinger.
My guy, Tommy Tats.
Right, Manhurts,
yep.
Fedoni, Dulcich. Like, they got four good tight ends.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Giants are going to end up parting ways with some really good players this year, which is something you haven't said in a long time, come cut down day for the Giants. In fact, we hear Joe Shane talking about, well, we're just kind of, we got to scout who got released. I mean, I doubt they're going to have to do that. People want to come after the Giants players this year.
No
that's
doubt.
For sure.
The quarterback room, which is the new season of Love Island, when you have Russ, you have Jameis, you have my guy, Calogero, Thomas, DeVito, you know, I went a little out of order there, whatever, Jackson Dart. I mean, that's a big-time quarterback room.
Tommy D was there last night.
was he?
The girls were fawning.
You know, again, I mentioned this yesterday when you brought up the hot nannies that, you know, work here for a couple months, the au pairs. So if you missed it yesterday, Tiki, there's this job where you could be an au pair where basically you're a hot nanny, you work for a couple months, and then you get to party around the country forever. My guy DeVito, he's got women chasing him all over the place.
I don't shine shoes anymore.
Man.
He's the man.
Yeah, they're going to rename Hoboken Thomas DeVito. Although I did hear that Tommy is kind of like a little bit straight-laced, doesn't like to get after, I was stunned by.
Yeah, he does it.
You know, it's not even about being like, you know, stereotypical. It's just more about, you know, you're young, you figured you'd party a little bit, but Tommy's more of a chill guy.
Yep.
So I wouldn't say in my mind.
What makes him more catchable?
Yes. You think so?
Yeah.
Because now
the parent is going to love you, too.
Oh, right. Like, you want to bring Tommy, comes over. Mm-hmm. He's a good kid. He's a good fellow. He's one of us.
Tiki playing the long game here for Tommy DeVito.
It's always a long game.
I play the short game, let's be honest.
Right, that's
you know what I mean? In my mind, I have a vision of that family and the whole deal with Tommy DeVito. So
Tiki, a big driver in life. Tommy, a short game chipping aspect.
No doubt about it. 100%. Like earlier on, he said, I said teams are horny for quarterbacks. He said teams are desperate. So you could see where our mindsets are at. 888-808-1019. Is the number to call. Let's go to Mac in Brooklyn. What's up, Mac?
Hey, Mac.
Hey, what's up, TQ? What's up, Tommy? How are you?
Feels good.
Hi. I actually disagree with Tommy a little bit because you got to take into account, you know, the long-term effects. You look at Sam Darnold. You look at Josh Wilson. You look at all those people, all those quarterbacks. They failed. You know, putting Jackson Dart on the bench for a year, yeah, maybe we won't go that far.
Well,
this year.
Hold on, Mac. Real quick, I'll let you finish. Did Sam Darnold fail? Because we saw him have success with Minnesota, although ultimately looked like a deer in the headlights in the playoffs. He was with Adam Gase, who was the all-time worst coach probably in Jets history. Is that more of a organizational failure than it was Sam failing? Because Sam showed you he could play now.
Correct. It could be. But I'm saying, like, if you want to, you know, weigh the risk, yeah, Jackson Dart can start. Well, no, the realistic expectations are not a Super Bowl this year. So, again, let him learn. What's the worst that can happen? So we don't make it that far this year? Okay. He learned. He sat. He learned from the best. And then he moved on. And then, you know, he had a great career. If not, you can ruin him year one, and he may never recover after that.
Yeah, I just don't know. I don't know if you believe. Well, let me ask you this, Mac. Do you believe in Brian Daboll as a head coach?
I actually do. But, that you know, a rookie is still a rookie. The game is different. Yeah.
No, but I just gave you a couple rookies that have succeeded. And look, every situation is different. I mean, this could be the first, because people like to compare. Jackson Dart could be this, he could be that. He could be the first ever Jackson Dart. So you don't know how he's going to handle it right out of the gate. He may flourish, and we'll be looking back on this 6, 7, 8, you know, years from now, but at least 6 or 7 weeks from now and go, oh, Tommy was right. You know, Jackson Dart should be the starter in week one. You don't ever want to be, like, scared of ruining somebody, because I think you can learn on the job, and we've seen it recently. Even, like, a Ben Roethlisberger, Russell Wilson.
Right, he wasn't asked to do much.
Yeah, and I don't think Jackson Dart is going to be asked to do that much because of the defense, the running game, and you have one elite wide receiver. I don't think that it's going to – they need to do a lot to win games. I know the schedule is difficult. I'm not taking away. But the schedule is difficult – based on last season, based on paper, we have no idea. Take it from somebody, and a lot of you out there listening, that whether we pick games on the show or you gamble on it, which I do both of those things, or play fantasy football, week in, week out, you can't predict who's going to win these games. It's impossible. Hmm. Try to bet on these games in the NFL. You're going to be a loser. There's a reason. I understand point spreads, but it's hard. So you don't know. You can't do the win, Lord. That's a win, Michael. You have no idea what the schedule is. Yes, on paper, it's a talking point, but Teak, you have no idea if the schedule is going to pan out.
It doesn't mean
way.
Anything. It's the NFL.
Injuries,
like, all these games are hard, period. Yeah. Just because it's the league, and there's parity around the league. And it feels like, because the same teams tend to get deep into the postseason and ultimately are playing in the championship games and then the Super Bowl. Right. But, like, it's hard. It's hard to repeat and be consistently good because of exactly what you said. Guys are getting hurt at a much greater clip, or maybe they're just not playing through injury like they used to. But they're getting hurt and unavailable at a much greater clip than they ever have. And so that means there's opportunity. And if you stay healthy and you have the right makeup, the right situation, and obviously the right coach, you have a chance, man. And so I think the schedule talk is overrated, even though it's real. But we don't know what the Cowboys are going to look like. We don't know what the Saints. And
we don't know what Washington's going to look like. Look, Jaden Daniels seems like the real deal, but you have no idea. Like, a lot of people think they're going to take a step backwards, which means they probably won't. But there is at least a chance that they take a step backwards, yes, based on that they were ahead of schedule last year. Dallas, look, when Dak is healthy, they do win games. So I think if he's healthy, and the whole Parsons thing is more for show, it's Jerry right. to get attention than I think it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, Michael Parsons is not going to be like, I'm sitting out the regular
no
season.
No shot.
So he's playing. He wants the ball.
Right, and obviously you have Kansas City. I'm not saying that the games are going to be easy. What I am saying is that you have to factor in injuries, where teams are at. A lot of times in the NFL, it's when you play a team, right? Like a team could be coming off of they played in Europe or they played in wherever, right, and they're coming off a tough game. It's a short week. It's hard to sit there and say a team's going to win 10 games, 8 games. We do it, but you could put it on toilet paper, basically, is what I'm saying. It's only a hard schedule on paper, and you have to see how the season sort of navigates itself. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Let's go to George in the Bronx. What's up, George?
George. Yo. What up, George?
No, I agree. Yep. No, I agree. I'm a generational talent. Yep. Future of the business. Yes, I agree. Well, you're right. No, it is contract season. And look, I've talked to upper management. I said, listen, there better be a slot for me here. And
no biggie.
And you're right. Evan can't disconnect. Him and Sean are constantly fighting in our group chat about sports topics. Still. And instead of just still.
I send messages at night. Thanks for your call, George. Appreciate
it. Yes, appreciate it, George. Best one of the day.
They don't stop. They
ever.
Engage.
Ever.
I'm like, what are
I'm
you
a
doing?
Loser.
You should be sitting on a pontoon boat having some cocktails.
On a what?
A pontoon boat. Those are those flat bottom ones. You know, they're just easy. They float. You don't have to like drive them and they tip left and right.
My guess is knowing Sean and knowing Evan, they have never heard of a pontoon boat. And B, if they did, they wouldn't be on it. Sean's sitting out there in Lake George with the floaties on and a tube drinking a, you know, Surfside. I mean, I can't imagine. And Evan, who, if the sun hit his skin, he would probably, you know, immediately get sunburned. I don't think he goes to the beach, but I don't think he actually goes to the beach. He sits inside and breaks down if Jacob deGrom is actually going to start against the Mets in September. Like, I think that's their vacation. They can't stop talking sports. We love talking sports, but they never stop talking
sports.
Team
stinks. Everything stinks.
He lives his act. That's what it takes. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Jim is in Madison. What's up, Jim?
Hey, Jim.
Hey, guys. Thanks a lot for taking my call. Yeah. Before I get to my point, Lukey, isn't this your birthday today?
It is.
Yes, it is.
Oh, man. So first, a happy birthday, okay, and everybody's call should start that way. Happy birthday,
well,
Luke, the big 4-0.
Jim, the reason, and I did bring it up earlier for comedic, you know, relief, the reason I didn't say that is because I don't want it to be every caller,
yes,
Tommy, happy birthday. So this is what we're going to do.
Plus, he's been celebrating for like 3 weeks.
At least 4 or 5 weeks, 6 months. Jim in Madison has wished me a happy birthday. I'm 40 years old today. That's it. You're the last. You are wishing it on behalf of all the callers today. I appreciate it to everybody out there. Thank you for the happy birthdays, and we can move
unless
on.
Unless you're willing to Venmo some cash.
Then I will take it. Yeah, I will put you on hold. I will put you with the producers. Please Venmo me cash. Anything. You know, $5, $100, $3,000.
Or tickets to the next Met game.
Ooh, that would be good, too. Yeah, I'll take favors. Like
I just I just assume anybody who's on the air at FAN is making bank already. But in terms of my Giants point, you know, I don't have a dog in the fight. I could go either way. I'm happy with Jackson Dart starting. I'm happy with Russ starting. Personally, though, I want to see the vet go. Mm-hmm. I mean, and Lugie, I get what you're saying, and you want to see the guy out there. But isn't it always the dream, you know, that you get a rookie quarterback and you just get to have him sit on the bench and learn? That's what like we always talk about. Like, he sits behind a veteran who's seen it all and gets to learn. You know, like just when you learn driving, you know, you watch your parents go, it's like, oh, that's how you make that turn. That's how you're supposed to just get him right out on the road.
Yeah, I think it's
the
dream.
Go either way, but
yeah, and that's kind of my point, Jim, and I appreciate the call. It is the dream, and it has been the dream, but in recent times, the dream, it could be a rookie starts right out of the gate, makes the playoffs, so dreams change. You know what I mean? Like, that's the formula it's been,
I mean,
but it doesn't always have to be
right. The reason it's hard to argue with what you're saying is because we've seen it. I mean, literally seen it the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's and again, it some of these kids, and we're picking on Anthony Richardson, but we'll do it just because of the Daniel Jones starting in Indy. That was announced today for those who missed that.
Right.
Daniel Jones, who we cast off and ended up in Minnesota on the taxi squad, is starting for the Indianapolis Colts.
Week one against Miami.
Over first-round draft pick Anthony Richardson.
Right.
So Anthony Richardson gets drafted, and he's a project.
No doubt.
Right? And you knew that it was going to take some time because of what Tommy alluded to earlier, or actually stated earlier, He only played basically 1 year in college.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you go back even farther, he started for like a season, maybe a season and a half in high school. So he just hadn't played a ton of football. And so now you're throwing this kid. I don't remember what the competition was like 3 years ago when he was a rookie, but he basically ends up starting with kind of no idea what he's doing. And then he gets hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's not around, meaning he didn't travel with the team. He didn't go on the road. He's just kind of rehabbing, but not learning via osmosis from the veterans that ended up taking his place. And so then he comes in last year, and it's still like this kid doesn't know what he's doing. And so a lot of times you draft a quarterback in the first round because he fits the part. He's 6'6". He's 250 pounds. Yep. He runs a 4.240 or 4.440, whatever the heck it was.
All that.
It was got a massive cannon for an arm, which we've seen multiple times. And it's like you just get tantalized by the prospect of what he's going to become. And then it just falls apart. Other times you draft a kid, you have no expectation, like C.J. Stroud, even though he was a high draft pick, but LSU guys, it's a new head coach, or not a
Ohio State.
Ohio State guy. It's a new head coach, defensive-minded head coach.
Yep.
You got like a 29-year-old offensive coordinator and Bobby Slowick. It's like, this kid has no chance. There's no, and then he leads you to the postseason. And he turns out to be one of the best young quarterbacks. And so it's such a crapshoot. You just have no idea. So the only thing you can judge it on is the makeup of the kid, right? What you, and having met Anthony Richardson, who is a great kid, but he's passive. You know what I mean? He doesn't have that like
presence
or drive to like absorb everything.
Mm-hmm.
CJ Stroud, who I've met multiple times, I've called a couple of his games. The dude is smart, one of the smartest football IQ people I've ever met. I know he got knocked because he got a bad score on one of those IQ tests, but like his football IQ is ridiculous. Like when he's explaining stuff to you, like, holy crap, dude. Like you're 24 years old. How the hell do you know that type of thing? And so like when you feel the makeup of the kid, and unfortunately for the Giants, Jackson Dart feels like that. Like
yep.
He just gets it. Like
sure
he understands
does.
Like what's at stake and what he's looking at. And when you tell him to do something, he gets it. And so it's hard to argue that he shouldn't play. But I'm still going to argue he shouldn't play because you have an alternative that is probably a lot better right now.
Yeah, when you meet Jackson Dart or you just, you know, see people that cover him in the media or you watch the clips of him, you know, meeting the media, the swagger, the presence, mm-hmm. the confidence, the borderline cockiness.
Oh, he was there last night too. And Tracy was like, wow, that little man is cute.
Iced out. Like it's snowing. Yeah. And that's I'm glad you brought that up because I think this is not football related, but who cares? Women. Does she prefer women or girls? I would assume
women.
Okay, women like Tracy, they're going to see Jackson Dart or women of all ages, and they're going to say he's cute.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes that's a turnoff for guys because they're like, oh, this cute, pretty boy idiot. But dudes are going to see Jackson Dart and go, bro, that's a dog. The face paint. You know, I want to go drinking with this guy. So he has crossover appeal.
That's
if
right.
Jackson Dart is a great player, he will be the biggest star in this city.
That's a good point.
In this city. Number one, he plays quarterback. He plays quarterback for the Giants.
Right.
And that's the number one position in this town. Quarterback, Giants.
Right.
There's no bigger position. Not anywhere in any sport in this town. Giants, quarterback.
Dog.
And if you are Jackson Dart, and the ladies love you, and the guys love you, like, and you're a dude, and you're a chick magnet, all that stuff, and you can ball, you will be the biggest star in this city, bar none. And and you could tell he knows it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course he does. But
like, even when we were at camp, there was this hottie talking to him. I think she talked to him about that this is the story. I'm speaking out of church, whatever. This girl, she's a total smoke. She was like, talking to him about something, and I was like, you know, what was that about? Apparently she had like a three-team parlay, and when he was at Ole Miss, like he lost the game and it busted her parlay. And that's what she wanted to talk about. I was like, oh, I thought she was looking for his phone number or something, but she was a hottie. And it was like, I'm like, all right. But even that, the way he handled it, he's just a smooth operator. And that's what I want in my quarterback.
Right.
Like that crossover star
right.
appeal.
But here's the thing. You want it like now.
Oh, right away.
You want it right.
Right now.
You don't want it to bake. There's still some yeast in there that's got to rise. Right?
Take it right out of the oven.
It's got to grow and expand a little bit.
Lick my fingers when I dip them in there. That's
right. It's going to be not cooked yet. You might not like it.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.